Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here at Real Liberty Media on a Wednesday. Those of you who did join live got to hear a little St. Patrick's Day bar songs. That's supposedly what it was. I thought that was kind of fun. St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Hope everybody's looking forward to it. I certainly am. It's the one day a year that I wear a kilt. Now, I do wear a kilt a little more often than one day a year, but I do wear it on St. Patrick's Day just because. Anyway, man, life just keeps getting crazier, man. Just when you think they've done everything they could do to convince you that they're crazy, they just pour on a little more. It's insane. We're going to get to that pretty quick. Hey, if you'd like to join the conversation, come over to reallibertymedia.com, get in the chat room, say hi. Just get in the conversation, man. A ton of stuff to learn and some fun times to be had on the chat room there. Okay, I wanted to cover a couple things real quick. Updates, as always, at the beginning of the show. So, St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. That's good. This damn time change, man. It's been the craziest thing. Like, I hate it anyway. If you listen to my last show, I did kind of talk a little bit about how much I hate the time change. Not quite as much as I hate Windows operating system, but close. It's a close second. Even though it's only twice a year, it's still irritating as heck. But this, you know, usually I do pretty good with the sleep part of it. That hasn't been a problem. But the weirdest thing is happening, like between 5:30 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. That's about the time, you know, I'm having my coffee. I take the dogs out, you know, get my clothes ready, and then eventually get in the shower and head off to work. But, man, that hour lately has just been going by so dang fast. It's like it's 5:30 and, you know, and I kind of kick it in the morning, too, you know. It's not like I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I'm just waking up, enjoying the morning. And, you know, then it's like 6:30. I'm like, holy crap, I got to get ready for work. I don't even know what I'm doing that makes that hour go by so fast. And I always know every single year it's going to be the following weekend before I actually get reset completely to the time change. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Only one more day of work here for me. So, you know, I've made it this far. I can do another day. Hey, by the way, I have been negotiating, you know, to go down to 3 days a week, and I have succeeded. We have agreed. We have come to terms on me going down to 3 days a week. You know, you have to negotiate the fees and everything. And so it's a little bit weird because I'm not really going to be down to 3 days a week for a while. Because I'm taking that fourth day to go down to Salem and help out a colleague of mine and another dentist in the group I practice with. She's a pedodontist, and they have not been able to refer children. Now, I know this is a little bit of tech talk dentistry, but so kids who have permanent teeth that need root canals, they have not been able to send those kids anywhere to get treatment. And I asked her yesterday, the doc, her name is Dr. Huggins, by the way. She's a really nice doc. And, I mean, anybody who sees kids every single day has got to be a saint, in my opinion. I couldn't do it. I don't do it. I don't even like to see kids, to be honest with you. But this is the deal. So she has nobody to send these kids to get root canals. Now, I have a reputation of being pretty good at root canals. And so she asked me a few months ago, hey, would I be willing to come down to their office and do root canals on these kids? And they're going to be put to sleep or they're going to be gassed. And there's a team that's going to do that, not me, which is cool. So I said, yeah, I would do that. And of course, the corporation and me and Dr. Huggins had to all figure out how that was going to work. We've got that all worked out. So I'm going to be working 4 days a week for a while because there's such a backup of these kids who need this treatment. And the specialists aren't taking them. They quit taking them during COVID. And I asked her, I said, well, are they going to start taking them again now that, you know, COVID's basically over? And she said she didn't think so. So either way, it'll be fine with me because I don't have to do it every single week. I will for a month or two to kind of catch up the backlog. But after that, I'll go down to just do that 1 or 2 days a month, you know, whatever is needed to get those kids treated. It's really kind of sad, man. What bothered me the most about it is, okay, I mean, you know, when adults come to me and they've let their teeth go to hell and they need a root canal, okay, I get it, you know, whatever. Sometimes things happen. You got to have a root canal, but if it's just flat out neglect, it's like, okay, you know, we're going to do a root canal for you. But kids, I mean, they kind of depend on their parents. You know, they don't get those permanent molars until they're 6, basically. And that's the tooth we're talking about, that first permanent molar. And, you know, the parents have to be the ones who, you know, provide that care and instill, you know, good home care into these kids so they don't get cavities, especially cavities that are so freaking huge they go into the pulp, become infected, and then need to have a root canal. So I was feeling pretty bad that these kids didn't have anywhere to go, and that's one reason I did it. And the other reason is, of course, because I, you know, just want to help out, I guess. And I'm not really ready to retire, but I do want to kick back the hours a few, you know, quite a bit. So anyway, that's what's going on with me personally. I think I've mentioned this before that I was going to kick back my hours and go down to 3 days a week and the whole endo thing for kids. So anyway, going to be doing that. But that kind of leads me to this story I wanted to share with you guys. This is really the kind of the craziest thing. And luckily, I just ran into this before I left my office. I couldn't believe this. Here's the title of this is, a dentist broke his patient's teeth on purpose so he could fix them. Prosecutors say he made millions. Now listen, this is wild. And honestly, I can tell you from personal experience that this isn't, I will say it's unusual. Maybe I'll go as far to say it's rare, but honestly, you got to watch out, man, when you're going to the dentist that somebody isn't doing this kind of stuff to you. So, let's just see how, so listen to this. Like, this guy wasn't satisfied with $1.4 million a year. Listen to this. So the dentist in Jackson, Wisconsin, drilled into and broke his patient's teeth in order to charge them for fixing the damage that he caused, according to federal prosecutors. By doing so, his name is Charmoli, I guess, went from pulling in $1.4 million and affixing 434 crowns in 2014 to raking in $2.5 million and performing more than 1,000 crowns a year later. So in order to increase his you know, income, instead of actually seeing more patients, he just took patients that had perfectly good teeth that didn't need anything, and he broke them so that he could then charge them to fix, you know, put these crowns on. So beware if you're out there looking for dental care, which I encourage everybody to do, especially now. There's going to be shortages and long lines, and more dentists are retiring, and a lot of staff haven't returned to the dental field. If you need some dental care, even if you have the slightest inkling that you need dental care, you should go make an appointment and get seen, get in the rotation. Hell, I heard today one of my assistants tell a patient the next available appointment was in July. So it just keeps, it seems like it just keeps extending out. And that's just my little office out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, so I was also so excited to, I was actually giddy with anticipation to see who USA Today would put on their Women of the Year list. No, I wasn't really. I could give a crap. But guess who's on that list? Rachel Levine. Is that not embarrassing? I mean, even for women. That has got to be, I know women aren't totally into this whole transgender thing anyway. Not all of them. There's some, I'm sure. But Rachel Levine, do you know who she is? You know who she is. She's like the, I don't know, one of the Surgeon General's sidekicks now. Another freak in our, you know, federal government. She's the one who believes that children should have the right to gender reassignment surgery, and that children, you know, 5 and 6 year olds should be able to make that decision, which is absolutely ridiculous. But that's the kind of freaking idiot that we have in our healthcare system, the federal healthcare, you know, people, the experts, the ones giving advice to the rest of the country, you know, through their position, I guess. Yeah, she's USA Today. She made the Woman of the Year list on USA Today, which tells you everything you need to know about USA Today, too, doesn't it? And while we're speaking of that, back to the war between Russia and Ukraine. And honestly, like, if you wouldn't you imagine that? If you saw the freaks that are in this administration, like even Kamala Harris, that looks just absolutely retarded when she's speaking to the world. She's on the world stage out there in Poland and being asked questions. She just looks like a complete idiot. Like, really, no, I was going to say it's a toss-up between which one, between her and Biden, are more ridiculous, but it's not. Biden wins, you know, hands down. But if you were any other superpower and you saw this administration when it got elected, and then you saw how they filled their cabinet, literally wouldn't you be thinking it was like a Saturday Night Live skit? Like wouldn't you be thinking this is a complete joke? This can't possibly be real. Oh, it's real. It's scary real, honestly. I mean, the reason I started the show with, you know, jokers to the left of me, clowns to the right, jokers to the left, whatever it is because that's the way I feel like every single day. I hear that song play in my ears every time I hear some comment, some quote, some press conference, or even a report of what this administration is doing. It really does kind of blow my mind that these people are supposedly from the greatest country in the world, and we just look like complete morons. Really scary looking moronic leadership going on right now. Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. I have some other stuff I want to cover today. I really, the whole war thing, you know, I mean, I don't have strong feelings one way or another about Russia or Ukraine. One thing I do kind of wonder is how come Ukraine wasn't more prepared for this? Like, if you knew that Russia was on your doorstep and they had a history of coming and knocking your doors down and just walking in, like, why wouldn't you have had more defensive weapons up and ready to go? I mean, I understand Ukraine, at least I've heard in the past few weeks that Ukraine is like a third world country, so they probably don't have a lot of money of their own or whatever. I don't know. I don't know for real. But it seems to me like you would have been prepared for some kind of invasion from anybody. You know, like anybody. But it doesn't seem like Ukraine was at all. And I don't know how all of that stuff works. Like, Ukraine's not part of NATO, but they're looking for support, and, you know, Russia has invaded, and I guess Putin's a bad guy. And it's kind of funny that Ukraine is supposedly the left's little darling now, you know, and I've pointed out before, even with this Nazi regime and their army. And even this week, I don't think it was anybody officially in the government, but somebody on a some reporter on Ukrainian TV said, you know, that they were calling for the murder of Russians, all Russians. It's okay to kill Russians, and then we should start with the children, you know, and families, civilians, kill them all. And I was thinking to myself, well, you progressives, you who are, you know, in charge now, you who have been elected and chosen the side of Ukraine, man, how do you justify this? How do you justify your stance now? You know, you've got like white supremacist Nazis in the army in Ukraine, and then you have people coming out saying, yeah, we need to kill Russian children, you know, eliminate them all. And that's just not, it can't sit very well with you and your other beliefs. It's such a dichotomy, really. But, you know, like I said, the world is a crazy place. Let's move on. Okay, so we covered the stupid dentist and, you know, not being satisfied with 1.4 million a year. Holy cow, that's really sad too. Hey, but I'll be honest with you. I have two instances in my life where I actually witnessed this myself. And believe it or not, once was in dental school right as we're getting ready to graduate, and I saw some of my fellow students faking lesions, carious lesions. I won't tell you how they did it, but they faked them so that they could, drill on a perfectly good tooth, which means they didn't have a lot of decay to deal with. They just had this little tiny, what they call an incipient lesion, the very earliest sign of decay, tiniest little cavity, and they made that cavity through a certain technique. They faked it so it looked like there was a cavity on this person's tooth, and there wasn't, and they drilled on a perfectly good tooth so that they could pass their board. And then another instance was a doc here in Oregon who, you know, he wasn't very talented at doing root canals, but he could do root canals on front teeth that have big giant canals that you can't miss. And he was just telling people that they needed root canals on these front teeth so that he could do, you know, a root canal for $1,500. And you know, he knew, like, on the upper front tooth, the canal is so big you can't really miss it. So he would do these root canals on especially young women for whatever reason. And he would just, like, you know, do these root canals that on teeth that were perfectly healthy, which is really sad because you kind of open people up for a lot of future dental problems by, you know, starting to work on a tooth that didn't need any work on it anyway. I mean, the minute we put a drill to a tooth, we're making that tooth weak. You know, we're adding weakness to the tooth. Even with some of the materials we have today that are really strong materials. Was I banging the mic? I didn't even think I was close to it. Oh, yeah, maybe I was. Did it startle you, Rob? Even with the materials we have today, they're strong, but they're not so strong that it makes your tooth stronger. It only makes your tooth weaker. It prevents, you know, further damage, hopefully. I mean, we always are hoping that we're going to make things better, not worse. But it's never stronger than, you know, what it was in its natural state. So it's kind of sad that you see so much of that going on with, you know, with some docs that, you know, can't leave well enough alone. And apparently they don't make enough money, which is really sad. I mean, this guy was pulling in $1.4 million. So even if, I mean, let's say that was his, gross, he was still netting half of that, you know, $750,000-$800,000, and he's not happy with that? Really? Holy cow. It's got to be rough. Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about La Nina. It's kind of shifting over to, you know, home gardening and homestead stuff. I like to talk about raising food. I talked about three different meat animals that you can raise pretty easily on the Saturday show. That was rabbit, chicken, and goats. And this week I noticed the National Weather Service Prediction Center, which I guess is a bunch of guys, you know, sit around and they kind of talk about what the weather's going to be doing in the next 6 months, which, you know, they can't get it right 2 days from now usually, so I don't know how they can, you know, extend their forecast out to 6 months, but they were talking about La Nina and how, like, about 3 weeks ago, they were talking about a 10% chance that La Nina was going to extend into the summer, which for us on the West Coast means, well, the Northwest Coast means it's going to be wetter and cooler and cloudier through whatever time period they say, however long La Nina hangs around. So they're saying, so 3 weeks ago they said there was a 10% chance that La Nina would hang around through summer. Well, or, yeah, until summer, like June 21st. Well, actually, it's in June, July, August. So, yeah, through summer. Now, just a couple days ago, they said there's a 50-something, like 52, 53% chance it's going to hang around through summer, which, so up here in the Northwest Coast, that would be good for us. We would get more rain. It would cut down the fire danger. It would, you know, we would have much more natural water falling on, you know, the garden or crops and the forest, keep them wet so they don't, you know, dry out and burn up. But unfortunately for Southern California, it's actually exactly the opposite. So the La Nina actually kind of pulls moisture from the south to the north. So they will be dry, and those Santa Ana winds and, you know, the heat that gets produced down there in Southern California would just dry them out and cause a lot of fires. And, you know, I was talking a couple weeks ago about the water basins here in Oregon and how the water from Oregon is used to water the crops in Northern California. So it could be really beneficial for crops and food production in Oregon, in Washington, and in Northern California If we did have La Nina stick around for a while, because we'd have more moisture, more water in the in the rivers and reservoirs, and be able to, send more water to Northern California and maybe get those crops watered. It's been a devastating 2 years for Northern California. And I mean, they're already, their growing season, they already started, and they don't have the water to water everything that they could produce. Along with higher gas prices, it's going to be a rough year for food. I mean, just in general, it's going to be a rough year for food. Yeah, if you're real, wealthy and money's not a problem, then I guess you might be okay if there's some availability. But if there's not, I hope you're prepared. That's one thing. I just hope everybody's prepared for whatever's coming at them. Let's see, what else did I have to say about this? No, that's pretty much it. Yeah, so the Climate Center, the National Prediction Center, will come out with another prediction, in a couple of weeks. I mean, that's the thing why I say they can't even get the day after tomorrow right. But they do. They have to kind of keep looking at data and, readjusting their predictions. But it's kind of cool. It's kind of promising right now because we haven't had a La Nina in a while. So it would be kind of nice to get some, get everything greened up here in the Northwest again, and not have such a horrendous fire season. Because, we burn everything to the ground every so many years, and lately it's been like every year, so we could do without that. Well, I mean, fortunately, pretty soon there'll be nothing left to burn. Just be all desert. Hope not. All right, before I get into this next topic, I just want to make sure there's nothing. Oh, a couple updates. One update. So I was talking about this bill that passed in Oregon, and I think they did it in Washington too, this overtime for farm workers. And sure enough, now the stories are coming out. These farmers are coming out and saying, okay, well, I'm just going to hire more people and work them less hours, which I said before when they were talking about this, that's exactly what farmers are going to do. They're not going to pay time and a half or whatever overtime to farm workers. They're just not. I mean, their margin of profit isn't that big that they can go pay, farm workers time and a half for overtime. So they're just going to hire more, pay them less, which makes perfect sense. If you're a business person, that makes perfect sense. If you're a government employee, if you're an activist who thinks that everybody should be, paid a minimum wage and everybody should get overtime and everybody should be part of a union, well, it doesn't make sense. If you've never done business, if you've never had a business, never actually ran a business, you basically make up stuff that makes zero sense whatsoever. And that's what happened. I mean, that's what happens. People go into government because of whatever reason, probably just to get rich, I'm assuming. Because it certainly isn't that you have high aspirations of attaining anything other than wealth and power, basically, if you can exercise power against everybody. But they have no common sense about actually doing business and how the world actually works. I mean, if they did, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now with the extreme shortage of energy, but telling everybody to go buy electric cars because, we need to turn over into green energy. But there's not enough energy to power all those cars. There's not even a capacity to generate all the cars that they want people to buy, and then people aren't going to buy them because they're so damn expensive. So there's so much going against it, but that doesn't matter. We're just going to make the rules and, make people suffer until we figure out that we've absolutely finally collapsed that we've been invaded by China and Russia, and they're kicking all that stuff to the curb and going, no, we're here now. We'll generate the energy, and we'll, you know, we'll use the fossil fuels, and we'll pollute your lands. And, yeah, no more electric cars or anything like that. All right, so this week, I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of, I want to talk about mass transit, because here in the Northwest this week, we had a crazy guy grab this 62-year-old nurse who was just getting off of her shift at work, and he flung her down a flight of stairs in the subway, going down into the subway. Well, actually, they were both coming up, and when they got to the top of the stairs, he turned around and grabbed her and tossed her down the first flight, and then he went down the stairs and picked her up and tossed her down the second flight. And it made me think, like, every time I see this stuff happen on mass transit systems, and it doesn't matter where it is, it's all kind of the same. I know that people, I don't even know why people like cities or live in the cities. It's just not something that I can comprehend. I mean, I've known people who were like, oh, I love such and such a city because it has all this culture, all this art, or all these great places to eat. And I kind of get that, because I do love food, man. I do love some good food. I actually like good entertainment, too. But every time I see these people, you know, being attacked, being criminalized, victimized, abused, in association with mass transit, whether it be a bus or a train, I think to myself, like, why don't you have the skills or abilities to, like, defend yourself in those situations? You're in that situation every single day. Like, if you live in the city and you choose to take public transit, number one, you are putting your life in your own, taking your life in your own hands, for sure. And if you don't have, like, some kind of ability to protect yourself, and there's a lot of ways you can protect yourself, but if you're not prepared, you know, the criminals are just like, it's just like a smorgasbord for them. It's just like, hey, you know, we're just going to go, you know, pick on the nearest, weakest victim we can find. And maybe not even so much the weakest victim, but just the most convenient victim. And I'm going to tell you a little story, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, 100% of the details, but I want to tell, I think there's two different stories I want to reference here. One was several years ago. It was probably 5 to 10 years ago. I don't know. I didn't pay that close of attention, and I actually didn't go look up the story either, because I kind of remember this because it happened right here near me in Portland, Oregon. So this was a mass transit, a MAX train incident, and there was a guy on the train who was crazy. Okay, he wasn't totally crazy, but he was crazy enough, okay? And there were a couple, I think, Muslim women on the train. They were young women. They were high school age women on the train. And this guy started harassing them and yelling racial slurs at them and really verbally attacking them, right? Which, okay, let's hold up here. Basically a verbal attack, which is not causing much more than some emotional harm. Yes, it's horrible. I get that. It shouldn't happen. I get that. But basically, that's what was happening. So a couple bystanders came to these young girls' defense. So let's say they were 16. I don't know how old they were. But they were not 13-year-olds, and they weren't, I think, 19-year-olds. They were probably 16, 17, something like that. So these men who wanted to stop this action, you know, confronted this crazy guy who was yelling racial slurs at these two young women. Well, crazy guy takes out a knife and slits their throats. Like, slits one of their throats, I think, pretty completely. One guy actually survived, and two guys died. So there were three guys altogether who tried to stop this guy, and he just went crazy and killed two of them and tried to kill the third one because he slit his throat from front to back. He just fortunately didn't go deep enough to cut a, you know, sever an artery or get the jugular vein. I think, I mean, maybe he did, and this guy just didn't bleed out. But whatever the case, there's so many problems with this scenario. And I already alluded to one. And the one is, look, it's just a verbal altercation at this point, you know. And I don't know if the girls were saying something back. Nobody has said that the girls said or did anything other than be dressed the way they were and be attacked for that verbally. So you would think, and I'm gonna give you some hints about things that you can and should do. So number one is get away. I mean, it's kind of like the first rule of self-defense. Like, I've taken some self-defense courses, studied it for years. And we were always told, you know, in the beginning, listen, you know, first thing you do is keep your personal distance and go away. Like, don't get mixed up in something, because your first and best hope is to get away. Now, I kind of don't blame these guys for jumping in and to protect these young ladies. But something you have to think about before you do something like that is, am I prepared to go all the way here? Like, am I prepared, if this escalates, am I going to be able to defend myself or offensively stop this person? And I don't think that they thought that through. And I hope I'm not being disrespectful. I'm using these guys as an example because it was a horrible tragedy that they lost their lives over what was basically a verbal altercation. And my point is, if you choose not to remove yourself from that situation, like, and I don't know how long this went on. I don't know if these young women passed one or two stops. I really don't know the details of that ride that they were on and when this guy got on and how long he was badgering him and all that stuff. But it seems to me, like, if everybody would have just, like, not got involved and just waited for the next stop and then got off, maybe, and I'm not saying that this is your best solution, but maybe there would have been a cop or a transit police or rent-a-cop or somebody there other than you to stop this guy from, you know, yelling and, you know, yelling racial slurs at these two young women. But anyway, so they did get involved and they lost their lives for it. Now, I want to talk about the level of people who use mass transit, because I know a lot of people who live in the city have to take mass transit. But guess who else takes mass transit? You know, the criminals take mass transit. Even need a drink, hang on. Okay. Hopefully that'll chill it down. Even there's some just pure scumbags that ride mass transit. You know, there's perverts on mass transit. There's every imaginable kind of puke you can imagine on mass transit. So as one of these men lays dead on the train after this incident happened, and while people are waiting for authorities, some scumbag literally takes this guy's wedding ring off his dead finger and some other, you know, personal goods and just leaves with them. So it's not like, you know, the most humane people riding along with you. You think that somebody's going to be like looking out for wounded or severely wounded, fatally injured anybody. No, they're going to take your stuff. They're going to take advantage of the situation. Anyway, so let's say number one, get away from whatever's going on. I'll get back to this in a second. I wanted to tell you this story. My wife and I were at a carnival, a long time ago, back in the 80s. And she liked to pitch dimes in the glassware. For you, those of you who've gone to carnivals, you know what I mean. So you pitch this dime. You just pitch dimes into glassware, and if the dime actually lands in glassware, you get to keep it. Well, so she was pitching dimes, and I had been in the service and was now out of the service, and, you know, I was probably a little sharper then and a little better shape then, but I heard it was noisy because it was a Friday night. There was a bajillion people there. There was 100, 200 people pitching dimes, and it was just extremely noisy at a county fair. Anyway, I think that was the state fair. Anyway, I hear like this commotion, and I look to my wife's right. I was on her left, and I see a guy who was pitching dimes actually starting to get like physical, like in an argument with the carny. And I just like grabbed my wife, pulled her straight through the crowd out the back, just in time for this dumb ass to jump up on the table. And the carnies, I'm sure, have done this a million times. The carny literally grabs the guy by the lapels and throws him directly into the glassware. And I didn't get to see it because I was getting my wife out of there to safety and myself out of there to safety. But just being aware of your surroundings. And if somebody, one of the things that I really hate about the way people try and make you think these days is that they try and take away your intuition. And I think intuition can save your life. I think in every sense, intuition following some feeling you have about a situation or a person, it's probably safer to go with that gut feeling than to not go with that gut feeling. So if you're in a position and somebody starts giving you the creeps and you can move and get away from it, then do it. It doesn't matter why you choose to do that. It's your choice to do that. You know, in this day and age, people will say, well, you're racist, you're a homophobe, oh, you didn't like that gay person sitting there because they're staring at your crotch or your boobs or whatever. Yeah, move. It's your choice. And oh, well, it's not because they are fit some category, it's because they're creepy, for crying out loud. Follow those intuitions. It's important. And it's even being kind of taken away from kids these days. I like to tell people And children, listen, kids, an adult never needs your help. So any adult who ever approaches you and says, hey, I need some help with my car tire. I need some help with my groceries. I need some help getting my keys out of the car. They don't need your help. In fact, you are the last possible source of help for an adult. So don't fall for it. But, you know, in this day and age, we're being, you know, people who have other people's kids for 6 and 8 hours a day are trying to take all of that intuition away from them by telling them everybody's okay. Everybody is not okay. There's a lot of evil bastards in this world. A lot of evil bastards in this world. And we're making our kids, luckily not ours, and hopefully not yours either, but people are making kids lose their sense of intuition. And I hate to say it, but families have lost their kids. Families have had their kids brutally beaten, killed, abused, because they made some terrible mistake. More and more often, I think it's because they don't pay attention to intuition. More and more often, it's because, you know, the parents telling kids, hey, don't get in the car with a stranger. Hey, don't talk to strangers. Hey, stay away. If somebody talks to you, starts talking to you, keep your distance. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that you can do when you're forced to ride mass transit. You got to take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to protect you. You are the first line of defense for your life. I don't care if there's a cop 30 feet away, he's not close enough to protect you. He may save you, he may not, but you have to have some abilities yourself to save yourself. So number one, I said, is to get away. You sense something, move. Get out of the situation. Go where some other people are, where they can hear you, see you. You know, they may not be any better, but maybe there's strength in numbers. I prefer carrying a gun. I prefer carrying a knife. I like to talk about, well, where do you carry those things? I have friends that are strictly boot knife and boot gun people. And I think to myself, that is like the stupidest place to go for my weapon. I have to bend down to my boot or raise one leg up to get to it. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, but if that's your choice, it's your choice. Do it. Have something. You can have, you know, mace. You can have pepper spray. You can have, you know, those keys. Now they make these keys with really sharp things on them that you can use for defense. Have a knife. Have a gun. Put it where you can get to it easily if you need to get to it. So if, you know, plan A, get away, doesn't work, you got to go to plan B. You know, scream your lungs out. Tell people nearby you're terrified, you're scared of whatever, that you need help or whatever. Because you're the one that's in charge. I personally like a neck knife. I wear a neck knife a lot. It just happens to be a type that it's a solid piece from tip to handle. It snaps into a 120 decibel whistle. I like that. A neck knife, my neck knife snaps into a sheath So it's kind of friction retained. So all I have to do is get my hand on it. It's literally right over my sternum. And I just pull that knife down, and it's already gripped in my hand. It's sharp on both edges, the top and the bottom edge, so it's ready to be used. I prefer the gun, shoulder holster, or in my belt, and I like it on the cross side, so on my left side, because I'm right-handed, because I don't want to have to make, I want to make the quickest, most efficient motion to get to either gun or knife if I need to get to it. And if somebody like grabs me in a bear hug, I mean, maybe I'm going to be screwed, but if those two things are in the same place where I know right where to grab them, I'm going to hopefully be able to grab them before they do. I mean, I will know where those items are more than the person grabbing me is going to know where those items are, and I'll know how to get it out. Whereas those, you know, anybody touching me will not know necessarily where it is and how to get it out. Rob said in the chat room he uses a 120 decibel whistle. That's awesome. Anything to make noise, anything. I mean, literally anything. Get away, make some noise, be proactive about saving your own butt. And be prepared for the worst. Be prepared for all hell to break loose and for somebody to be willing to take your life. Like, is the stuff in your purse, is the stuff in your bag, is the stuff in your backpack, is it worth your life? Literally. If it's not, let it go. If they're after that, let it go. Give it to them. If it's not worth your life. I'm lucky that I don't have to go to big cities much anymore for anything because I can't stand them. I think they're just huge. It's just so dirty and so evil, and not all of it. I mean, I get it. There's some places I would love to go and try the food in Portland even. There's some places that I would love to go eat, but I won't. Hate the big city. I hate the evilness that exists there. And especially now, I mean, we had two more counties say that the police aren't going to be responding to all kinds of crime now. Matter of fact, domestic dispute, they're not going to respond unless somebody actually went to the hospital with like certifiable injuries, broken bones, stab wounds, bullet wounds. I don't know. They're not going to go to school fights anymore. So basically, the schools are, you know, free for all. You want to whoop somebody, you go ahead and just whoop away. And maybe, I guess, if they kill somebody, then we'll come do an investigation, you know, and tell you how sorry we are that your child was killed at school, but we just don't have enough police to do anything. So, I mean, more and more, it's important for you to start thinking about where you are, how you can protect yourself, or how to just get away from every situation. Hopefully you can get away and mind that personal space, man. I like people maybe 2 feet beyond my arm reach is probably the closest I'll let somebody who's in any kind of threatening stance. That's about how close I'll let them get to me because if you and I are having a thing and I've told you to stay away and you come that last little distance, I'm sorry. It's going to be on. And that's all we have time for today. Look for the Redneck Dennis Show every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find me on podcasts in a lot of different podcast places, hopefully the ones that you use for podcasting. And I will look forward to seeing you guys on Saturday live on RealLibertyMedia.com. Thanks for joining me.